Welcome, everybody. I'm Mark Peter Davis, Managing Partner of Interplay. I'm on a mission to help entrepreneurs advance society, and this podcast is definitively part of that effort. All right, we've got Phong back today, running through mission-critical startup tips. Today's topic is muy importante. We roll into team construction and recruiting. And it's one of those things that I think a lot of entrepreneurs think of it more as a checkbox and something they just need to get through. But the best of the best know that this is actually the foundation of the entire company's culture, operating capability, and usually an indicator of the future. So some very valuable tips here. I hope they are helpful. Enjoy. All right. Phong.
Hey, Mark.
Excited about this week's startup lesson. How are you?
Yeah, me too. I'm good. You're looking good.
You know, I've got, I've upped my game. I did the Blazer purchase. I don't know, some when you're 45, you can't dress like a kid anymore. You know, you've got to level up a little bit.
I think most people say that about 30 or 35. So you're, you know, 10 or 15 years too late, but better late than never.
I'm a consistently late bloomer. That's my thing. Yeah. but I did get a bunch of blazers and I'm trying to do a casual blazer guy on occasion. So it'll be like a t-shirt and a blazer or a sweater and a blazer. What do we think? Is that going to work?
I'm going to keep track of what these occasions are, like what the occasions are that you feel like are worthy of the casual blazer guy.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's a step up from just black t-shirt. That's for
sure.
Yeah,
looking good.
Thank you for the moral support. I need it.
Yeah.
And let's jump in. Let's learn some startup lessons.
Sure, sure. So, Mark, today we're going to talk about a topic that I know you find really critical in building a company and that we often discuss as a team at Interplay. And that's recruiting. And specifically, how to find the right person to fill roles on your team or the right people. This is super important regardless of what stage your company is at. But for early stage companies, it's extra critical because first, I think this is something I've heard you say, the first 10 or so companies, the 10 first or so employees become the foundation for your company culture, like forever. You know, I mean, you can probably evolve it, but it still becomes like a core foundation. And then secondly, when you're moving so fast with a small team in those early days, everyone's doing multiple jobs. Everyone's working really closely together. So when you pick someone wrong, it's the cost is really high, right? Like hiring someone who's not a real fit at this point can really impact the entire company. So how do you make sure you're getting the right people in? The first step is to figure out what you need. So based on the skill set you already have on the team and what needs to be done, what are the functions that need to be covered by this new person? What are the skills does this new person need to have? And there's a tool we have here at Interplay to assess that. And it's called the Superman Analysis, which we covered in one of our earlier episodes. You can find a link to it on the show notes. So it's basically a Google Sheet, where in the first column, we list all the activities that need to be accomplished for the company to run effectively. And we prioritize that by the most important activities. So in each of the next columns, we list out each current team member and map out which of these skills each person is good at. I think once you do that, it'll become clear where your holes are and what you need to recruit for. And it goes without saying that at this point, you should be hiring into your team's skill gap. It might be tempting to say like, well, sales is an important driver of growth. And even though I'm already good at sales, we should probably double down on sales. But meanwhile, no one's doing customer service. I think in these early stages, you'll benefit more from rounding out your team's skills than doubling up on any particular area. And then once you determine what you need, write a clear and thorough job description. This part is not just a formality. It sets up the foundation for the whole search. So don't just cut and paste your way through it. Aside from the basics like job title and benefits and perks, make sure you include the skills needed and edit these to the core ones. You don't want to write a laundry list of skills that's going to scare off people or filter out good matches before you even get a chance to meet them. Second, the impact this role will have on the company. Third, what success looks like in this role. And then lastly, a compelling storytelling around your company and your mission that's going to get people excited about joining the team. Then once you do this and start getting new good candidates in, make sure you have a thoughtful and insightful interview process that identifies top performers. To do that, it's important to identify the characteristics that make someone successful and ask interview questions that suss out whether or not candidates have these qualities. So for example, when I interview candidates, three of the traits that I generally prioritize are grit, humility, and integrity. You know, all the stuff around skills and smarts you can generally get from a person's resume or where they've worked. But these are things that, you know, I really prioritize in the interview process. So for grit, you know, it's people who don't get discouraged when things go wrong. And even better, people who learn from the mistakes and use failures to get even more motivated to succeed. A question that I find that's good to get around this is to have them tell you about a professional failure and how they overcame it. So in their answer, look for the things that the person did, but also how long they stuck at it. A person with a history of perseverance, that's a good indicator of performance. Secondly, humility. Top performers know that they don't have all the answers and that they should ask and learn from others. They're open to feedback and always seek opportunities to improve. A good way to get to that is to give them negative feedback about something, like during the interview or, you know, if you give them a homework assignment, give them negative feedback on that and see how they handle it. This can be kind of uncomfortable, but it's really effective. And then lastly, integrity. So honesty, ethics, commitment to doing what's right for the business is essential. So, you know, a good question to get at this is to have them tell you about a time when they felt like their integrity was challenged. And this can give you insight into how they think and their moral compass. Then, as a follow-up to the interviews, I often find that a thoughtful homework assignment that's relative to the work they'll be doing to be really insightful. When you're doing this, make sure the project helps you assess the skills and competencies they need for the role, and that's not just busy work. So for example, once I was hiring for a customer service lead and I had the final 2 to 3 candidates, you don't want to ask everyone to do this because it's time consuming and it's, you know, not fair to have them do it if they're not right from the beginning. But I had the final 2 to 3 candidates work on a customer service process map to see, one, if they understood the core fundamentals of customer service, and then two, how thorough they were. So how many steps did they include? Did they think through all the implications or did they just do the bare minimum? Then as a last step, I can't stress enough the importance of reference checks. It's even better if you're able to tap into your own network to find people connected to the candidate to get information about them. And then also you should speak to the contacts that they give you. So yeah, I mean, it's never a guarantee, but I generally find that if you follow these steps, you'll significantly increase your chances of finding someone great for your team.
You knew this topic was going to get me.
Right, this is. I know. I've heard you go on about this topic. So.
Yeah, near and dear to the heart. And I think if you're in a business where the core asset at the end of the day that's going to make or break the business is the people, which is most of the time, right? Yeah. Every now and then you've got a piece of IP that's so stunning that anyone can take it to market. But most of the time it's the people. Anything you can do to increase probability of putting together the best team is a big deal. If you can go from 80% success in hiring to 83, huge impact on outcomes. So all of these dials are worthy of tremendous attention. I want to add some things.
All right.
One thing we like to do with Interplay, just going in order that you went, the JD, is we like to bring out the soul of the company as best as we can. JDs are boring. They're practical. So we try to put in some language that will reverberate with people who share our kind of cultural fit. So we'll write in things like willing to run into a brick wall without a helmet on for on repeat, right? And that will land with the right person who that language, I don't know, fits. And we actually have people comment on it. Now, sometimes they're just saying that to be polite. but sometimes you know, it seems like it might be true. The last thing I just wanted to emphasize, the things you said that you're interviewing for, so important to refocus on those. I was up at Harvard a week ago giving a talk to some students, and these students, you know, they got into Harvard, they have great grades. They've checked all of the hardest boxes to check in American society. And my message to them as we were talking about their careers and where things go from now was that, look, getting into a top college gets you into the game of the top jobs, but it's not what determines outcomes once you're in. Once you're in that career track, working at great startup companies or banks or whatever they choose to do, what's going to define how they get sorted out against their peers is going to be the basic stuff, the stuff they were supposed to learn in their childhood. Integrity, as you said, grit, humility. So it's like these degrees, you know, they're sitting there thinking, wow, I've got a Harvard degree, the rest I'm going to go coasting. It's kind of the price of entry to have a pretty good degree that doesn't need to be from Harvard. Right. And then once you're in, it becomes devalued. And what everyone starts to care about is integrity, grit, humility. So those things you're talking about, that's what we interview for at Interplay more than the core operating skills. Functional skills are kind of a dime a dozen at this point. So the human skills, the stuff you're supposed to learn in your childhood, are more valuable.
Yeah, for sure. And as a employer, those are the things that's pretty like harder to assess, right? Like you can see if someone has a CFA or, you know, what school they went to or where they worked and, you know, based on their roles, like what skills they probably have. But these are the things that are, you know, so unique to a person. You know, they don't wear on their sleeve. So it's, you know, I think if you're scientific about it, you can get a pretty good idea.
And it does a huge service to the organization if you're building, if you're thinking about those ingredients when you're formulating a core team and a culture. So anyway, this is a very important topic. It is almost consistently undervalued by founders in their first cycle or two. But when I think you get a couple more laps into this, you realize you got to get this right. It's one of the most important things out there.
Yeah, it's one of the ways that, you know, you separate the good companies from the great companies, or the companies that make it and those that don't.
Thank you, Fong.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, Fong's coming in hot and breaking it down. This topic is mission critical. I said that in the preamble here. If you feel like you're flying blind in creating a team, get advisors and get help. Because while it is an art, there is a lot of opportunity to level up and be thoughtful about it. And it makes a huge difference. Also, double clicking on what Fong said, if you haven't checked out our episode on the Superman analysis, we'll put it in the show notes. Please do check that out. It's a little simple tool we created internally at Interplay. It should be ubiquitous. Everyone should use it. And the idea is we created like a table of what the activities have to be done and who's doing them to see where the gaps are. And the idea is that no single person is Superman. You cannot do it all. So it's about spreading the peanut butter of work around in the most intelligent and efficient way. Very, very, very valuable, simple tool. Catch you next time.